The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
It's Carmen and Yurko.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Do I exaggerate?
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000. Boots, boots, boots. Boots, 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 boots.
It's 11 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, October 19th, and it's already 66 degrees,
beautiful,
according to my Apple Watch.
It's beautiful, it is outside, Carm.
Beautiful. What a day for a parade. They're kicking things off now. They're going to head up north to Pritzker Pavilion.
I think we got some parade goers right here.
We got some parade goers.
Yeah,
they're heading to the parade.
Yeah.
We got two Sky jerseys and a Rodman. I love it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I love the Sky,
that.
Our champs. So the first time since 2016 that Chicago will have a little celebratory parade.
Celebrating a championship.
Congrats to the Sky.
Yes.
We got some huge Sky fans here at the station. And Rachel and Travis in our marketing department. They've got season tickets.
They only support champions.
Travis is also a Bucks fan. They hoist the banner tonight at Milwaukee. What a day for Travis.
Where's his Chicago Sky tattoo going?
I don't know, but he's probably going to get
four.
One. Do you like the Bucks minus one tonight at home against the Nets? No Kyrie, of course.
Bucks minus one?
They're raising the banner, right? I think it's a one-point spread, if I'm not mistaken.
Against the Nets? It's at home in Milwaukee?
They're in Milwaukee.
Depends what your theory is.
About ring night.
Yeah.
I always bet against teams on ring night. They never have.
Have you ever looked at the data, Merck? I mean,
what's
like,
the data say?
I just know Tampa Bay this year, and for the hockey, NHL, they got destroyed ring night.
They got smoked.
The Bulls were...
The Bucks won, but they didn't cover.
The Bulls never...
The Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah,
they won, but didn't cover.
But the Bulls never were good on ring night. They always lost.
Is that a feeling? Are you sure about that?
No, back in the day,
there's championship banner raising night and ring night. Are they in the same breath?
I think they're... I don't know. That's a good question. Milwaukee's a one-point favorite tonight. Bulls play tomorrow in Detroit to open the season. Then the home opener is Friday.
In Detroit, there's a chance to get, off on a good foot. Because Detroit, isn't Detroit bad? Still bad?
Yeah, they won't be there. Ron Jeremy is not coaching.
Do you think Kyrie Irving plays at all this year?
I'm going to say no.
Wow. That's amazing.
I think he's, for whatever reason, he's dug in. I don't know.
He's dug in like Nick Rolovich.
But then I'm already starting to second guess it. I'm like, he's going to miss 82 games. He's not going to play a season that could end in a championship for the Nets.
That's right. He's like Nick Rolovich. He's dug in. The coach from Washington
State. Got fired. Yeah. I'll say no. What do you think, guys? Do you think Kyrie plays?
I'm going to say no. I'm with you. I think he's not playing.
I think he'll play.
Okay,
but he'll be for a different, not because he gets vaccinated. He'll play because they'll say, just get back here.
I don't think that's going to happen, Yurk.
We'll see.
All right, Meller, Yurko's going with it. Yurko's going off the board for sure with that one. Meller?
Yeah, I think he's hard-headed enough. He's the only guy in the league, I think. I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to sit the entire season out.
Now, he's not getting paid, is he? Or is he?
No, he will not get paid.
He doesn't need the money. I mean, let's face it. It's easy for me to say, but...
They always want the money.
I know. It's like what does Kyrie make, 30 million?
You never have enough.
40. 40 million? Yeah, I didn't need the 40 million.
Carm, you never have enough.
What does Josh Brolin tell him in Wall Street 2? Remember when he says, come on, what's your number? There's got to be...
Wall Street 2.
Well, it came to the top of my mind.
No, I know. Why don't you quote Major League 2?
Josh Brolin looks at him and he says, more. He says, that's the number. He goes, come on, there's got to be a number. Everybody's got a number where enough's enough. And Josh Brolin's this billionaire hedge fund guy, and he says, more. That's the number. So that's to your point. I mean, easy for me to say he's got enough money he could pass up 40 schmil, though, but that's a lot of... it's a lot of De Niro.
Probably Bobby
American
De Niro.
Money too.
Bobby De Niro.
Bobby De Niro. I don't know. 312-332-3776. And is Merkin's hunch right? Do you always fade the team hoisting the banner when they open up the season? You're basically picking the winner, though, tonight, Merk. You don't have much wiggle room, It's a one-point spread. Total in the game, 239.5. Come on. How do you not love the NBA? Steve's downtown. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. I was at the game on Sunday, and I just wondered, does the offensive coaches still sit up in the booth where they can see what's actually going on? There's a running play. There's a sprint back running play that the Bears do where he gives the handoff and then Fields circles around as if he has the ball with a fake. all 11 defenders go to the ball. The side of the field, the whole side of the opposite field is wide open. He never keeps the ball. They ran it about 10 times on Sunday.
Well, I don't know the exact play, and we'd have to look at it. But, Steve, to answer your question, I do believe the offensive coaches are up there. I mean, Bill Lazor's in the booth. So they're up there. They're seeing it. They're looking at pictures on the sideline.
Yep, they see it all.
Are they adjusting to it? Sometimes it doesn't seem like it. So the Packers did a nice job of adjusting.
They did. They saw what they were doing wasn't going to work, and they changed.
And Matt LaFleur said it after the game. I keep giving Waddle credit because he nailed it during the game on our text chain. He said, they better change this up. There's no way the Packers' O-line is going to hold up against the Bears' pass rush. And they changed. Problem with the Bears is, too, like, and you go into the Tampa game where nobody's running against them. They're giving up fewer than 3 yards a rush. Teams aren't even trying. I mean, you know, they're like, F this. I don't know what the Bears are going to do. Now, Yurko's got some theories, and I love it. I mean, okay, you can still get creative. You can wham. You can do this. You can do that. That might still be the Bears' best bet. You can get heavy and just try to overpower them. The problem with the Bears is when it comes to the passing game, the minute they become one-dimensional and they can't run, this is why it's hard for them to come back in games. When they can't protect with six, they're not a unit equipped to protect with five, it seems
I think
often.
You're going to see...
And Todd Bowles blitzes
bars.
A lot.
I think you're going to see bars on the field
you
a lot.
Think so?
Yeah.
But what happens when you're chasing, though, Yurk, if that's the case? I mean, can you still protect with six?
Well, see if you can run a screen with him. 64 eligible?
Eligible.
Run 64 eligible. 64?
Todd Bowles, and I'll look at the updated stats. I don't think it probably changed too much going into week... what are we going into? Week 7, right? We're through week 6. You know, Todd Bowles blitzes about as much, if not more, than anybody else in the NFL.
Mac Jones handled the blitz well when Tampa went up there to play New England. He handled the blitz well. He knew it was coming. He got the ball off. We'll see if Justin Fields can do the same thing. That's what we need.
And to that point, so...
Oh, boy. By the way, real quick, Mallory, the Bucs blitz 39%, guys. The next closest team, Carolina, at 34%. So, yes, the Bucs blitz more than anybody else.
So, here's the more important... Go ahead, Mallory.
Well, like, to your point, though, like... So the Bears, it seems like their best path to victory is to try and lean on the run game, right?
Right.
But the problem is the best run defense in the league probably for the past two years now.
Yes.
And to the point where people, especially with Vita Vea healthy, people abandon the run quicker against the Bucs than any other team. It's probably a combination, too, of teams tend to find themselves behind fairly quickly with the Bucs offense. And by the way, if you're going to beat the Bucs, their secondary is just absolutely savage, ravaged by injury, right?
Decimated.
If you're going to see any 250-yard passing game from Justin Fields all season, this would seem to be the one.
Well, hopefully they find a way to get it done. Keeping the ball away from Tom Brady is also one of those keys. And they played Brady in Tampa well last year defensively, so hopefully they can figure something out as they move. Your number, 39% blitzes on all defenses, right?
Yes.
Take away first and 10 and see what their percentage is.
I'd have to filter that out.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the Bears coaches have those numbers. They're right in front of them. They know exactly what it is. Second and 7-plus is probably a big blitz down.
Third and long, right?
Third and four-plus. We call third and 4-plus the next kind of category.
Yeah.
Because you're not running the ball usually in third and four-plus. You're usually throwing the ball at third and four.
And so Bowles likes to kind of dial it up after that.
What you look like is in those scenarios, you could break it down and say, okay, second and 7-plus, third and 4-plus. Now how much are they blitzing? I bet you those numbers in those situations are through the roof.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet you it is. That's how you dissect it. And then what defenses, you know, are they running, formations over under? They got four guys coming. You know, what's their coverage in those situations? So the Bears got to see all that and then be able to, on the fly, break patterns off and get things done. So we'll see.
Let's go to Rick in Blue Island on ESPN 1000. Hey, Rick, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing, man?
How you doing?
Doing good.
Man, listen, man, I'm a glutton for punishment, man. I was in Cleveland. I was at the game Sunday. And you guys almost owe me $1,000 deductible because I almost ran my car off the road when you mentioned that the Bears can't throw a screen pass.
They can't, right?
This is ridiculous.
It's right.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah. And the Bears,
I mean, they almost killed that man in Cleveland. Yeah. They were just coming up field. Never once they do a draw play, a screen, or nothing. It's unbelievable.
I know. Rick, thanks, buddy. I don't get it.
Yeah. And then the Packers run screens.
Oh, please. For my like whole, for 30 years.
Like, they're experts at running screens.
Remember the Amon Green screens?
Oh,
the
Edgar Bennett
screens. Edgar Bennett and
Dorsey Levin screens.
All of them. It was one after another. Who was the kid from Notre Dame? That you,
Not Aaron Jones. What's his name?
Remember the kid from Notre Dame?
Yeah, Ryan Grant.
Ryan Grant would kill him. Eight-run screen all over the Bears with Ryan Grant and Amon Green.
Number 25, Ryan Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like one guy after another. Yeah. So, guys we never heard of.
Right, right.
You know? Boy, that tell you. You're going, Mellor, yesterday, giving the stats again since Favre got there. I mean, the record, it's it's staggering.
Don't frustrate yourself.
I mean, 15-45? Like,
and when
are
he
you kidding me?
What the Bears' lifetime record against the Green Bay Packers were, and they have totally flipped that to have like an 11-12 game advantage right now.
It's just awful.
Monumental, Carm. Monumental.
Let's go to, let's see, let's go to Dave in Evergreen Park.
David!
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, speaking of Cleveland, I was just wondering about Baker Mayfield. He has a separated shoulder and a broken labrum on his non-throwing thing. I think he's done for the season. Are they going to?
I don't know that he is.
They're going to have surgery.
Oh, did they say Baker's officially done?
I think they're talking about him having surgery. This is the second time he's dislocated
it. Right. I knew it was bad. Like, Dave, thanks, man.
The more you play, the more often it's going to dislocate. The bigger problem, it's going to be to repair it.
They're talking about maybe trading Foles. Then I don't know that anybody's going to want Foles.
I believe the latest is like he's been advised to get surgery, but they're looking at a second opinion. So they haven't announced.
Non throwing, but yeah, look, I told you the way he looked the other night. Right. I mean, it was.
But even that, I mean, you got to take the snap. Just the simplest moves could pop it out, Carm.
He's quoted as saying it's his decision whether he'll play Thursday against the Broncos.
Sublex. When you sublex the shoulder, Carm, when that thing goes up like this, it wants to pop out of there. The labrum is like a suction cup.
Right.
And once the labrum is compromised, you got major instability in the shoulder. Not only that, the more he does it, on that non-throwing shoulder, the left shoulder for him, your bicipital groove in your tendon.
The bicipital groove.
Where it runs into the bicipital groove, Carmen, I'm pointing to it right now. It's right there by the shoulder. That gets frayed, and that gets damaged. You know, that tissue that runs in there?
Yeah.
And that usually has to be repaired when you have a torn labrum. Now, you keep doing it again and again, there's going to be more problems and more problems and more problems. So
that's bad.
And I'm not a medical professional. I'd consult an orthopedic surgeon there. But I think I've described what the damage is most of the time.
And he looked in pain, and he was visibly frustrated on Sunday night after that awful loss. Case Keenum, I think, is the backup.
Would
you call and ask about
Nick Foles?
Sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd call if you're the Bears. Right? What are you doing with Nick Foles on the roster? I mean, I'd call.
You're talking about
you get a 6-round pick.
It's a 6-month injury. I mean, he's out for the year.
You get a 6-round pick for Nick Foles, right?
Right.
What would you get? Whoa. 5th round? 6th round?
7th round conditional.
Conditional? They win a playoff game, you get a 6th round?
7th round conditional.
By the way, Merck said, Merck, what was you saying? Your theory on ring night, how the Bulls never did well on ring night, right?
Right.
Yeah. They were 4-1.
Maybe it was the day after ring night. Wait, but they won 6 championships. It was the last one. The
because
last one
after. So in 92, after the first one, the next year when they had the ring in 92.
I remember they lost to Atlanta.
They won 110-90. In 93, after the 92 championship, they won 101-96. In 94, even without Michael, they won 124-123 in overtime. Maybe they didn't cover that game. In 97, after the 96 championship, they won 107-90. They did lose the last one in 98, though, to cap off the final championship season. They lost 92-85. I'm not even going to look at 98. Who cares? The whole team was gone, and it was a lockout. But 4-1. So, I don't know, Merck, your theory? Yeah.
Well,
we might have to revisit it.
All I know is the Lightning got destroyed on their ring night.
Well, you're right about that. Yeah. They got run out of the building.
Is Kucherov hurt?
That was last year.
Yeah, he's back.
Oh, is he? No,
they buried him the whole year, and then miraculously he came back to the playoffs, and he was fantastic.
I thought he was banged up a little bit early in the season here.
I don't think so.
I looked up the, you know, the...
A lot of people thought that Tampa engaged in dirty pool with that last year.
The Blackhawks, well, like the Hawks did.
Yeah, with Kane.
Yeah. They brought him back, and you had a little bit more.
Yeah.
That's the way it works.
Yeah. And but Kucherov, I think, led the... Didn't he lead the postseason in points? I think he might have led.
No, you're right. Yeah, and then
he's out the whole year.
In the opener, he came out, and I feel like he had like a goal and two assists or something in the opener.
I have you know, after the first week of the season, the Blackhawks are only 1 point out of the playoffs.
Thank God. Okay, pick it up, guys. Let's go.
There's some positivity.
How about a first period lead? Right? Let's get it going.
There's some positivity. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot.
Home opener tonight. 312-332-3776 is the number for Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Stream ESPN 1000 anytime through the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
There's Derrick Henry trying to get the big guy going, and he's going. And when I say going, he might go all the way. Nobody's going to catch him. Derrick Henry, touchdown. 76 yards. They're all.
Steve Levy, Monday Night Football last night. Bills win. It's a big win for the Bills. We're going to dive into that game here in just a second. Real quick, thanks to Tommy Waddle. Tom Waddle, like Bobby Marks over here, knowing the ins and outs of the Kyrie situation. Kyrie gets paid for the road games, even if he doesn't play. He won't get
so he gets paid $20 million.
Kyrie's banked about 160 schmil in his career. He's making 35 this year, so he'd still collect $17.5 million. Even
17.5.
He might sit out the whole year, boys. Oh, we got Waddle. Shams Charania over here.
Shams. I don't know if you saw earlier in that chain.
Thank you, Tommy.
Tams took
a shot at Yurko because they were upset that Yurko took a shot at them for Carm. You referenced, you know, the jokes that they do on their show.
I love it.
Wait, what happened now?
Again yesterday, though, Silverman with Kyle Fuller. The Bears are fifth in defensive DVOA. He's whining about Kyle Fuller.
He doesn't have an idea what the hell's going on in the defensive backfield. Let's be honest with each other. He doesn't know. I tell you this, Kyle Fuller would be a better player with this pass rush, though.
Oh, yeah.
He would be a better player.
He would be.
But once he got paid, he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
And why? Because the rush in front of him wasn't as good.
You heard the Derrick Henry. I mean, we're out of superlatives here, right? I mean, Jim Brown, Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, Adrian Peterson. I mean, he's starting to do things that make you go, all right, that's Yurko and I don't value the running back position really at all. Either is the league. I mean, it's the only position which has seen its average annual salary fall over the years, and it's going to continue to fall. The running back position is just not valued. It's a passing league. Their shelf life is short. They get used and abused, unfortunately. That's the life of an NFL running back. Kind of sucks. But that's reality.
Derrick Henry has the benefit of his first 2 years. He didn't have a lot of wear and tear.
And that's true. He's a different cat. I mean, this guy right now, just a quick peek into the numbers for Derrick Henry. He's averaging 130.5 rushing yards per game. He has 260 more rushing yards than the next closest guy. Now, in fairness, Nick Chubb is the next closest, and Chubb didn't play last week because of injury.
Right.
So Chubb's played one fewer game. But 260 more rushing yards than the next closest guy. He has 51 more carries than the next closest guy. That's Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. He is on pace. He's on pace.
He gets 27 touches a game.
Yes. He's on pace for 460 carries, guys.
Yeah,
I mean, they can't do that to
him.
Which
is a record and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's on pace for 28 rushing touchdowns. Yes, they will play an extra game if he makes all 17. But that would tie LaDainian Tomlinson's record for the most touchdowns ever, rushing touchdowns ever in a single season. LT did that in 2006. That's also the last time that any player in the NFL had at least 20 rushing touchdowns, 15 years ago. So Derrick Henry is, I'll give him credit. And while we don't value that position and the league doesn't value that position, I have him on fantasy. I love him. I will say this. Derrick Henry's one of a kind. You're a beast, man. And I tip my cap.
14-1 for MVP.
The most impressive thing.
He won't win MVP.
Carm, the most impressive thing that he does, 4.9 per carry, career average, 4.9.
Awesome. Like I said, he's in the Barry, Jim Brown.
Barry Sanders and Jim Brown had five yards carry. I think Brown had 5-1.
5-1, I think, yeah. And Barry was like 5.
Yeah, that's your it's
unbelievable. Like, he is unbelievable. I mean,
yeah, and he's got the gift too. Where okay, he's impossible to bring down. He's just like you said. He's such a physical beast. But then you add in the element when he gets going. Now listen, he doesn't have the juke moves because of his size. But if he gets north to south and he gets going, You saw it last night.
Last night.
22 miles per hour on that 76-yard touchdown run. And, like I track this stuff because of fantasy. He, in his every single year, he breaks off these absurdly long runs. If he gets to the secondary,
they can't
that
catch
second
him?
Level, nobody can catch him because he is moving so quickly. Look, here, every year, his longest run, starting back in 2017, 75-yard run. 2018, 99-yard run.
Wow.
2019, 74-yard run. Wow. 2020, 94-yard run. And last night, he had that 76-yarder.
That's
he
amazing.
Always breaks off a long touchdown run every single season. And most years, he has multiple long touchdown runs.
He's a different cat, man. He's in a world of his own right now, honestly. I mean, he just is.
And he's good for one reception a game.
Yeah, well, that's
in his career.
Yeah,
one reception a game.
He's something.
I think Jeff Melrose is the one who pointed out to us a couple of years ago. Watch his high school.
Oh, I heard. Highlights. I know. And just if you look at the stats,
well, did he, yeah.
I mean, they're crazy.
So his senior year, because this, of course, always goes around. It, like someone mentions it, and then all of a sudden, I have it saved in my photos. He in his senior season, 11 games, had 462 carries for 4,261 yards and 55 touchdowns.
I mean,
I know it's high school,
yeah, and he's,
but it's still, like, who? What high school coach says, I'm going to feed this guy 40 carries a game?
Well, listen, when he's Derrick Henry, he was a man amongst boys, let's face it. He was a man amongst boys in high school. He was a man amongst boys even at Alabama. I mean, he's just...
He's from tiny Yulee, Florida. You know where Yulee, Florida is?
I do not.
North of Jacksonville, just south of the Georgia border.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got some country strong boys down there, though.
You've got country strong, but he played probably at smaller school. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes. Yurko's right about that.
You say man amongst boys.
Yeah, like truly. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
You
know.
He's a man amongst boys in the NFL.
I know.
Well,
that's crazy. It. But, I'm not diminishing where, but I saw he was from Yulee, Florida. I've been there.
I love
it. You know, nice place.
He's great for fantasy. He gave me 40 points last night. High points for the week, thanks to they already had the win, and then he just because
I got 38 points,
and he gave me an extra 40.
I lost
high points for the week.
You should have made the trade with me. Yeah, yeah. Kyle Fuller. So
Yurk and I don't disagree often, but we do from time to time. We disagree on Sean McDermott's decision to go. Yeah. We talked about this during Crosstalk with Cap and Hoodie a little bit. I like the ultra aggressive, especially if you've got a team like Buffalo with that offense, with that quarterback, those weapons. Like, I'm going for it. I'm not playing for overtime on the road. I'm sorry. I'm winning. Didn't work. So, doesn't look good today. Didn't work.
Sure.
They lost, but I was okay with him going for it.
I can give you confirmation on this from the people I was with last night watching the game.
No, I trust you.
I simply said, I'd kick the field goal, guys. I'm sorry. I'm kicking the field goal right here. Didn't like the way it was happening. Didn't like it. 22 seconds on the clock. They still had timeout.
They still had timeout.
So they could have stopped, the clock, obviously. But fourth and one.
Yep.
And I'm like, I just said to myself, boy, just take the points here and start new.
I'm surprised
at you. Just wash your hands of it. Start new. Get the coin flip and see what happens.
Well, for what it's, I don't want to rely on that coin flip. For what it's worth, the ESPN data team did break down the probabilities and say that it was the right decision. It just didn't work out. From a probability standpoint, it was the right decision.
It was 21 percentage points better.
That's pretty
good. If they went for it, that was the win probability. 21 percentage points.
Like, that's pretty high, actually. There's a... this is what everybody's talking about. You're noticing that teams are being more and more aggressive on fourth down. They're going
for
it.
But it is, though. It's if you get it, this is what it is.
Sure.
If you get it. Right. If you get it, these are the percentages.
Yeah.
Well, when you don't get it, it's a 0% chance of success.
God, I got it.
Your win probability went from whatever it was
to zero
to nothing.
Yes, it did.
Okay,
turned it over.
You lost
down with 12 seconds.
So all your win probabilities only happen if it's successful. That's it.
Titans for the win and the cover.
Yeah,
Titans were getting 6 in that game, 1 by 3. 9-point swing.
Yeah, I had Buffalo. Boy, another bad week for me with Dr. Andy.
Oh, yeah?
From Evergreen Kia. 3-3-1.
Lost the juice.
That's not bad. I can't put together a winning week.
Listen,
I had 1-4-2 week, and that's all I've had so far this year.
You know who's first and second in the Chicago media pool? It's me and Cap are first and second.
Oh, well, he keeps asking you for your picks.
He takes all my picks. I mean,
you got to stop talking to him.
I'm 20-10.
Give him the wrong picks. Go another way.
I'm going to. We pick five games a week. It's a Chicago media pool.
What do you think, Carm?
We pick five games a week against the spread. I'm 20-10.
Yeah.
I'm 14.
Tell him to call
him
Philly Godfather. Nobody's talking to him anymore.
Philly Godfather? No.
Yeah, tell him to talk to Philly Godfather.
What's my record in odds couple best plays, Merck? I think it's 13-4, right? Yeah, I'm 13-4
in odds
couple best plays. So
hey,
having a very good season.
This in from Woj.
Yes.
Sixers coach Doc Rivers threw Ben Simmons out of practice today in suspension. Ooh. One game suspension came shortly after that. Ooh. Sources tell ESPN. Simmons reluctant to physically and mentally engage with the Sixers since his return has been a consistent theme, sources tell ESPN.
Wow. Conduct detrimental? Is that what he's being suspended for?
Yeah, it's a conduct detrimental.
Is NBA conduct detrimental? Can you suspend him without pay, or is he still suspended with pay?
Ask Waddle. He seems to be our NBA insider.
Well, listen,
God bless the man. He's a jack of all trades.
European soccer, if you're not happy and you want to move, and usually the season starts before the transfer deadline is over, that's the way they get people to move them.
Okay.
Simmons wants to be moved.
He wants to be moved.
That's it.
Very important waiver wire opening across fantasy football leagues. You've got six teams on bye, everybody. Six. There are major injuries all across the league. Mellor is going to help you adjust, fix your team on the fly, and hopefully get you a win in week 7. We'll do the waiver watch with Mellor.
Listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports,
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Week 7 in the NFL coming up. A lot of injuries. Second week of the byes. We got six teams on bye this week. A lot of big injuries, man. I lost Dawson Knox last night. I already got George Kittle on the IR. You know, that's not good.
Kareem Hunt's gone now.
Nick Chubb, I don't know, might not play again.
Boy.
All right, Mellor's going to help you. He does this every Tuesday. We call it the Waiver Watch with Midway Jeff Mellor. He's the station's fantasy expert, and he's always giving out good advice, always.
I appreciate that, Carm.
Yeah. And don't forget, you got the Fantasy Football Show with Mellor every Sunday, 8
at
to 9.
8 a.m., correct.
And then Dion and Jeff have the Bears pregame. This week, you guys will be on a little later because it's a 3:25 kick.
That is true. But right? So we'll start at 1 o'clock
at
for
1.
The Bears-Bucks pregame. And this Sunday, we will be, it seems like, I don't know if it's official, but it looks like we're going to be out at the Points Bet in Crestwood.
Oh, nice.
So you can come out and see Deanne and me.
Fabulous.
And get ready and watch the Bears and Bucks and a bunch of NFL Sunday games.
That sounds really good. Okay. All right. So what do we like for this week, Jeff?
All right. So, you know, you mentioned it. So let's hit on it real quick. Bills, Cowboys, Vikings, Steelers, Chargers, and Jaguars on bye. Those are some – it's not just that there's six teams on bye. Yeah. You're talking some fantasy stalwarts here.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, Diggs, Dak, Zeke, Lamb, Cooper, Cook, Jefferson, Thielen, wow. Najee Harris, Herbert, Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, James Robinson. Those guys are all locked into virtually every fantasy lineup. So there's going to be lots of people who need
wow.
help. So since it's the Carmen and Yurko show, you get a little perk here, Carm. I'll just jump right into the tight end since you need some help.
I love it, yes.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
There you go.
He's available in 70% of leagues. He is on a Washington football team. He's stepped in for Logan Thomas, who is injured and out. And he's basically run all the routes that Logan Thomas had. Now, he's not necessarily going to be a stud for you, but I think he's probably the guy who's going to get the most volume. Also, somebody I like, assuming that Gronkowski is out, you saw him on Thursday night. I've been waiting for him to get back in the mix. OJ Howard, he's available in 98% of leagues, and as long as Gronkowski is out, he's questionable right now. If he's out again, OJ Howard is probably the guy I would gamble on against the Bears and say, you know what, I would use him above Seals Jones if Gronk is out. But if you want like a sure thing, I'd turn to Seals Jones. Mo Alley Cox, available in 97% of leagues.
You said Mo Alley Cox, right?
I did, yeah. Yes. And he'll be, he's a red zone threat for the Colts. Don't love him for volume, but he is somebody who Wentz looks to in the red zone, so maybe he scores you a touchdown. If you're looking for someone with a little bit higher floor, Evan Engram, with all the injuries that the Giants have at their wide receiver position, he's available in 69% of leagues. Nice.
Nice.
And then Gerald Everett is back off the COVID list for Seattle. You saw him on Sunday night have a nice long gainer. He, again, we're kind of bottom of the barrel here situation with the tight ends, but if you're in need of somebody, there's five guys who are available in virtually every league that you can look at. Running back. All right. D'Ernest Johnson. He is the man, next man up for Cleveland. Assuming Chubb is out as well, because Yurko said Kareem Hunt is going to be lost for at least 3 to 4 weeks, it looks like. So D'Ernest Johnson is the man who will likely see the carries. I've talked about Felton. He is, I'm sorry, Felton. Fenton. He is the pass-catching back for the Browns, but I don't expect him to get a lot of carries. D'Ernest Johnson is the name that you're going to want to grab off your waiver wire today in the event that Chubb sits out, because he'll likely see, you know, 15 to 20 carries, especially with, who knows,
Case Keenum
potentially being your quarterback.
That's a good point.
Somebody who I like possibly for the longer haul and more upside, but probably not for the next couple weeks, Rashad Penny. If Alex Collins is indeed injured as well for a number of weeks, Rashad Penny, who was a first-round pick for the Seahawks and has had some big weeks when he was healthy, is finally set to return from injured reserve. He could step in and be the featured back for the Seahawks and might be productive. I mentioned his name last week. He got a little bit of run, Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh, yeah.
And with Damian Harris dealing with his own injuries for the Patriots, they may start to lean on Ramondre Stevenson a bit more. He's available in 83% of leagues. Again, not somebody I'm looking to start, but worth grabbing and stashing on your bench. Another name in deep, deep leagues, Jarrett Patterson of the Washington football team. Antonio Gibson is dealing with a shin injury. He also had I don't know if he missed some blitz pickups or what was going on against the Chiefs on Sunday, but he seems like he right now is having issues for Washington. So Jarrett Patterson is somebody to keep an eye on. And if you're in deep leagues, again, 16-team leagues, you go ahead and grab him right now. I will say this, word to the wise, Ravens backfield. Oh, I would stay away.
I would. Right?
Look, Latavius Murray is the most owned and most productive player. He's still available in 42% of leagues. But if you've ever listened to Greg Roman, the whole mindset of the Ravens is we want a fresh back in there. They did it last year with Gus Edwards, with J.K. Dobbins. They did it 2 years ago with Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. And they're doing it again this year. Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, Le'Veon Bell, and to the point where Tyson Williams is now, he's inactive.
Which is surprising. Isn't
but that's the reason. So if you're playing fantasy football, just stay away from the Ravens running backs altogether.
Probably a good piece of advice. Even though, you know, Murray had a Bell and Murray both had touchdowns, I think.
They did, but the thing is,
I'm with Mellor,
you're playing fantasy football, right? And the truth is that likely you're only going to get 10 touches from any one of those guys.
Yeah.
Sure, you'll feel good if they score a touchdown.
Right.
But if they don't, you're going to be happy with 40 yards?
Exactly. Yeah. And your ceiling is capped.
Might not even have 40 yards. And the Chargers' rush defense is one of the worst in the league. So they don't want to stop the
run.
And
Lamar Jackson, he's going to steal a few of his own touchdowns. So it's just a hard way to win in fantasy if you're trying to gamble with one of those Ravens running backs.
I think that's good advice.
Wide receiver help. All right, T.Y. Hilton. He did leave the game with a quad injury, but Frank Reich said that he's feeling better. He said that yesterday. He had 4 catches for 80 yards. It was his first game back this season. I think T.Y. Hilton's probably the player with the most upside who's out there on waiver wires. He's available in 70% of leagues. Couple of Cardinals wide receivers, and these guys are kind of like, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, they're kind of like the Ravens running backs. But with receiver, I think you can, you know, gamble on upside a little bit more. A.J. Green is available in 58% of leagues. He's been somewhat productive. Christian Kirk, available in 67% of leagues. They're kind of 2 and 3 in the pecking order after DeAndre Hopkins. Now, does that change at all with Zach Ertz? Possibly. But again, if you need wide receiver help because of all the buys this week, I think you could do worse than one of those Cardinals wide receivers. A Ravens wide receiver, Rashad Bateman.
Yeah.
He actually was pretty solid this week. He's available in 80% of leagues. Another guy.
Keep him on the field, that's all.
And then here's two guys who, you know, if you're desperate, but what you tend to find is that guys who have big weeks, all of a sudden everybody rushes to the waiver wire to grab them, and then within a couple weeks they're being waived again.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys who I think are in store for that are Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Oh, he had a big week, but he caught
a Hail Mary touchdown, right?
Yeah, he did.
You can't count on that from week to week.
No.
KJ Osborne, we were talking about him yesterday, Carm. He's available in 90% of leagues, and I will say he maybe has a little more upside. But the truth is, he's third in their pecking order.
Absolutely.
And Jefferson and Thielen get so many targets funneled to them.
Yeah.
I'd have a hard time ever starting KJ Osborne.
Yeah.
Lastly, quarterback streamers. Because of all those buys, maybe you're looking for a quarterback this week. The best one who's available in 65% of leagues right now, I'm actually surprised, Matt Ryan.
Ooh.
He's got Miami. They're in Miami this week.
Oh.
They had the bye. Listen, he's got plenty of weapons. Not sure. I'm assuming Calvin Ridley will be back. We'll have to monitor that because he had the weird situation where he did not travel to London. We don't know why. It was personal reasons. So, but assuming he's back, there's plenty of weapons at his disposal. Kyle Pitts looked really good a couple weeks ago. Cordarrelle Patterson has been used really well by Arthur Smith. So I think Matt Ryan's got the weapons you want if you need a quarterback streamer. Also, Jameis Winston available in 73% at Seattle.
At Seattle.
That Seattle secondary is a mess.
My God.
And then two more for you.
And they're coming off bye. I mean, that's like Sean Payton with extra time to prepare for that Seattle defense.
Exactly. Jameis Winston doesn't necessarily need a lot of passing yards because the Saints have the possibility of throwing some short touchdowns to kind of bump up his stats for you. Two more guys. Daniel Jones, available in 51% of leagues. Don't like the matchup against Carolina, but sometimes beggars can't be choosers, right? And then lastly, Carson Wentz. 75% out there at San Francisco this week, and the Colts offense, again, with T.Y. Hilton looking a little bit better, so there's a couple quarterback streaming options for
you. Carson's played better the last couple weeks, yeah, because all those buys. So take that advice and run to your fantasy leagues and hit the waiver wire. Meller, great work as always, and don't forget the fantasy show every Sunday.
Can I tell you a crazy trade that I almost didn't make?
Sure.
That I almost made. Thank God that the guy was Eric Collins, who is the voice of the Charlotte Hornets.
Yes.
Is in my fantasy league. Offered me Joe Burrow, Saquon Barkley, and a meaningless wide receiver for Derrick Henry. And I would talk to Melvin, and this is right after Saquon had the huge week against the Saints. I'm like, I think I'm going to do it. Saquon's back, and I get a quarterback, too.
Right.
And then I texted him on Wednesday. I said, hey, dude, can you give me a day just to finalize my thinking? He's like, absolutely. Next day, he pulled the trade offer. I was ready to pull the trigger on that deal, and thank God. Because then Saquon got hurt. And
well, that's the problem. Saquon being hurt kind of changes the dynamic.
Yeah, well, now there's no way I'm doing it.
No, because a healthy Saquon and Burrow,
yeah,
pretty good combo.
Yeah, that was a fair trade, but
yeah. All right. Fantasy trade.
You know what? That's a good, though. He brought it up. Whenever sometimes people look at a guy coming back from injury, I think you always have to be careful when you're trading for a player who's either nursing an injury or coming back from an injury, because you always envision, oh, they're going to be the guy they were now that they're healthy. The truth is, we don't know what's actually going on with their body. It's better to be cautious. And if you have a healthy player in football, more so than any other fantasy sport, you're probably better off just hanging on to the healthy player.
Sometimes it takes a full year for those guys to really be back, too. All right, we'll come back. 312-332-ESPN is the number. A few more things before we get out of here. Sky Parade happening right now. They're going to have the big rally at Pritzker Pavilion here in Millennium Park. So you can go check that out today. What a beautiful day for it. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Get Carmen and Yurko podcasts on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
I'd like you to meet a real inspiration.
Carmen and Yurko. ESPN 1000.
Schwarber hits it a ton. Into right. At the wall. Another grand slam.
Depotted. The deal needs depotted. It's going to be the Astros soon. I think fans are going to like that. Schwarber did it again. I heard both Zetterman and Adam Abdallah yesterday talking about Schwarber being a good bet for a home run. Good on you, boys. Nice call.
At what rate?
5-1? I know Abdallah was talking about, I think both of them were mentioning the boost on their respective sites.
Oh, yeah. Boost?
So there's like a boost maybe on them. I don't know, whatever it was.
I'm still waiting for Carmen to get us another points bet boost.
We can do it
at some point, Carm.
So, Kyle Schwarber, you heard the Joe Buck on Fox
casinos last still
night.
Taking bets after this weekend, Carm?
They still are,
oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Every once in a while.
Out there.
Every once in a while, they do like to get their clocks cleaned. You know why I said clocks? Guess what happens this week? Lots of money in the market. 41 games in the regular season for Schwarber for Boston, a 154 ERA plus. How many postseason games so far? How many postseason games have they played? Is that 8, I believe, for them in the playoffs this year? Yes, that's 8 games.
I'm thinking 8 games.
A .281 average with 3 home runs, a slam, 6 RBIs, and 8 runs scored. Kyle Schwarber's doing it, man. Like, he loves October. A career .973 OPS in October for Kyle Schwarber. His 9th career postseason home run. And they have, I think I heard Joe Buck say last night, they have 20 home runs in the playoffs, the Boston Red Sox. I mean, they're annihilating everything right now.
I mean, they're doing it.
And you got to wonder where the Astros are going to get the pitching without Lance McCullers, right? So I think Red Sox.
What is that series right now?
It's 2-1 Boston.
Okay. 2-1 Boston.
And they have 3 grand slams in the series, which is an all-time postseason record.
Well, it must be. It must be. I mean,
or they hit 2-1 game. That's never happened.
I mean, I wonder what their batting average is with runners in scoring position.
I bet you it's astronomical.
What's their BARISP?
Their BARISP. I'll tell you what it is. It's awfully good.
Yeah, it has to be. Very efficient team.
Meantime,
right,
the Braves, you know, that's day baseball today, by the way.
Oh,
it's a day game today.
Day game.
Yeah, it's a 4:08 first pitch in L.A. That series shifts. And the Atlanta Braves are up 2-0, York, after two pretty thrilling, exciting wins. I don't think there's anything left in the right arm of Max Scherzer.
If you were going to say, and I said shifts, I was going to throw my
No, I know. I was done. I'm done with it.
Phone,
I'm not going
to. The phone's coming at you. I swear to God.
I'm done.
I'm joking.
Max Scherzer said the other day that, you know, I mean, you'd never expect Max Scherzer, right, to be like, I want to come out of a game. When they wondered afterwards, like, why Roberts took him out, Max Scherzer said, I got nothing. Now, the guy's pitched on short rest here a couple of times, right? He had to close a game to get to the LCS. And I mean, how about that? Max Scherzer going, nothing.
Amani?
Nothing left in the arm.
Amani, guys?
A full reset? Like, do they have that luxury even, though? I mean, where he's going to get like five? I don't know. I mean, they're going to turn to Walker Buehler today for all intents and purposes to save their season, right?
Right.
I mean, you go down 0-3. Yeah.
It's tough. I mean, you've seen it happen.
0-4 happened, but.
0-4 it happened. Boston came back.
I mean, is Boston going to another friggin' World Series?
But most
I mean,
of the
Boston
time.
Boston sports, like.
I've seen the Dodgers come back down 2-0.
Yeah.
In 81. They were down 2-0, came back 1-4 straight.
Yeah.
Against the Yankees.
But you get down 0-3, man. It's tough.
Yeah.
These Red Sox weren't even, like, when the season started, I don't even think Red Sox fans had high hopes for this Boston team, right? I mean. What were Boston's
No, because they were scuffling in September for the most part, just hanging on for a wild card spot.
Right, against against Toronto and
Yankees.
And the Mariners. They were all.
Like, yeah. Are they going back to another?
I mean, it's the World Mike Series Thomas game? Effect. He goes back to Boston and they're winning.
That's what it's got to be.
And that's Mike Thomas, our former.
Yes, he's going back to Boston. He's shipping back to
El
Boston.
El Presidente.
Shipping back.
I call him El Presidente.
El Prez.
This guy that ran us.
So that's why the White Sox lost, because Mike Thomas decided.
Thanks, Mike.
To bring the Red Sox his sweet luck.
Real nice, Mike. You're bringing your sweet luck now back to Boston. Shipping up to Boston from the Dropkick Murphys. Oh, and they did a Rewatchables. Bill Simmons has a good podcast called The Rewatchables, where they, you know, old, fun, rewatchable movies that you can just watch over and over again. The Departed's one of them, man. That movie is as rewatchable as any.
Yeah.
So they just did that a couple weeks ago. That one was good. And I'm not ruining it, right? It's like 15 years old. That's why they did it. It was the 15-year anniversary of when it was released. So, you know, like, we're not really ruining it. But
well, are you going to give something away?
Well, some people have always had a problem with the ending.
They ran out of money and had to finish it.
I don't think so. I think that
Studio
was the point.
Studio said, we have to finish it.
I think that was the point. But one of the guys, I don't know if it was Simmons or one of the guys who was in with him, I think it was maybe Simmons, who said, is there any, like, moment in the last 20 years in cinema that's as, like, jaw-dropping as... You know, if you saw that movie in the theater with what happens to Leo, like that moment is about as like, oh, my God, I can't believe it, as any moment in movies in probably the last 20. Remember, Sixth Sense is over 20 years ago now. So, you know, the moment where you realize, holy cow, he's dead. Like that doesn't fall into that window anymore.
You didn't watch it. But when Thanos does what he does at the end of that one movie, I can't say it.
But, I mean, I've heard that, though. I know what you're talking about.
But when that happened and I was in the theater, I'm like,
oh, wow.
You got to be blanking me.
That's the moment of The Departed, right? When the elevator opens and, again, I don't feel like we're out of line here. I mean, that movie's 15 years old. Shame on you if you haven't seen The Departed.
Right.
But when you see Leo, you're like, whoa, like your mind is blown.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating today. And Midway, Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, Randy Merkin, job well done. As always, enjoy the Sky Parade. If you're going, enjoy the beautiful day. Waddle and Sylvie up at 2 in Nebluck and Abdallah. We got ALCS game 4 tonight. Have a wonderful day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Coach O has the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word. On Carmen and Yuriko.
I want to take a little time off. You know, I'm 60 years old. Of course, for 37 years. I think I'm going to have enough money to buy me a hamburger. And every once in a while, maybe a double meat cheeseburger.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yuriko on ESPN 1000.